Welcome to Kitchen Table Life with Nancy and Charity, a podcast where friends gather to spill the coffee. We talk practical truth about life's challenges, loving well, and leading strong.
Come on, friends, and gather around.
Well, friends, gather around. On today's podcast, we're talking about change.
Ooh.
Have you ever had to go through some sort of change or transition or something new? I don't know about you. I don't like it. It's always uncomfortable. But God always shows me something new in every transition.
Both of us have had lots of experience moving, which is probably the greatest relatable thing that anyone could talk about with transition.
Right.
We've all moved somehow. Moved grades, moved classes, moved houses, moved cities, blah, 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 blah.
Right. Right. I mean, and some change is more traumatic than others, but I know that you and I share the moving change as a similarity. I don't ever want to make light of change because there are hard changes that you and I have both faced. There's heartbreaking changes we both faced through loss and whether it's family members or marriages or relationships, and they're hard, or the loss of a job, or even, you know, sometimes one of our family members walking away from the Lord, that's a loss. There's grief associated with that. Or the loss of a dream, or sometimes change can be birthing a new one. And, you know, starting something new, a new adventure, it can be scary and rewarding. But the good news is God's with us in the transition regardless.
How many times we've changed, like with moving?
Oh, just moving alone? Oh, goodness. Well, let's see. Born and raised in Maine, moved to Tennessee, and then in Tennessee, moved around based on whatever the Lord was asking us to do. And then we moved back to Maine, and then we did some great things for the Lord there. And then I always say, God called us to Maine, but because he loved us, he let us come back to Nashville. I'm an organizer, so I love all the packing and all the things. I just, the exhaustion that's associated with the changes is more than I care for. But also, you and I both had extreme job changes, too. So, but I don't think, by the way, that I've moved nearly as much as you.
I've moved a lot.
You grew up a missionary's kid, right?
I lived in Maine, Texas, Colorado, and then we lived in Mexico, in two different states in Mexico. And those are just, like, the states. There are multiple moves within each one of those places. But it was something like 21 different addresses. And I've had more addresses since then. As an adult, I have lived in, again, Maine. It's like everything goes back to Maine for me. Both of us, Maine, you know. And then North Carolina, Missouri, Maine again, Alaska, Maine again, and now Illinois.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to interrupt you here because I was there for the Alaska move. And there was so much change in that season. So I just want to talk about, because I'm just curious, what did you do in preparation for that transition?
Yeah.
So what was the process? I don't need the details, just the process.
The process, number one process was getting rid of our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Going through it, asking ourselves, what are we keeping? And we didn't really take much. Because, you know, like, we were flying there. It was a very interesting experience logistically and getting rid of things, getting rid of, but when I say get rid of, I don't mean just throwing away. We're talking right. about some family heirlooms that I didn't want to put into storage that I passed off to other family members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't regret any of that. And I know that if I had ever really wanted something back, I would get it back, you know? But
right.
releasing that, retaining the memory and the enjoyment of an heirloom, but releasing that and just bring joy into someone else's life, you know, that mm-hmm. was probably the most emotional part for physical items.
Mm-hmm.
And mentally preparing myself for living in a new place, which but I've done lots of times. That part was easy, just but going there and not being able to be easily accessible Not that Mexico is very easily accessible to me, but you know.
Okay, now listen, but you can get to Mexico by driving.
Yes, you can. And I've been there many times. It's a little harder in Alaska. But you have to think about it and try to prepare yourself. And there's just things that you don't know what will happen or how to prepare for. And you just have to trust God that He's going to help you through it. My mom always said whenever we were moving, you know, stuff is just stuff.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, I'm thankful. I still have some items from my childhood that I've held on to that I treasure, but it's still just stuff.
Well, and from a spiritual aspect, what did that look like? Because I hear the logistics side, but we're both, you know, Christ following, spirit filled, Jesus loving ladies over here. And sometimes the truth is that, I mean, it doesn't necessarily make it easier. The burden's a little bit lighter because we know we don't carry it all on our own. But what did that look like?
When God tells you to do something, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I appreciate, having a partner that does that.
Right.
And it's like when he proposed, he asked if I would join him on a life of adventure.
Yeah.
Will you marry me? Not I love you so much, but you marry me. No, will you join me on a life of adventure?
He wasn't lying.
No, he wasn't. And having someone with you that you can pray with, that you can seek God with, that you can both listen to the Holy Spirit, is very comforting, and it's reassuring knowing that you're not doing it alone, you know.
And I think sometimes we miss that aspect, right? Like, I don't know about you. Well, I kind of do know about you.
But you do know about me?
From a logistical perspective, my head is immediately ready to plan. How many boxes do we need? You know, like when we last moved, I'm a little bit more OCD. So like every room had its own color tape to go on the box. So we knew where the box was going. So we limited the amount of moving and all the things. But sometimes because I'm gifted in that area, I will jump over the prayer time and move into the execution time. And then later go back to the prayer time after I'm reminded, hey, Nancy, you can't do this all on your own. And so God continues to refine and adjust in me the need for prayer. And I think that's key. And I, over the moves and over the shifts and changes in life, my prayers have changed, you know, because I know change is inevitable. But what change looked like for me 10 years ago and how I reacted to it and how I prayed for it or didn't, as it were, is very different than how it's done now. I mean, you know, we're kind of chuckling about the moving and things like that. But, you know, I mentioned earlier, change sometimes is full of grief and full of sadness. Sometimes it's full of fear and anxiety. Sometimes it's full of excitement with a little bit of fear of anxiety, you know, because there's something new coming, but it's uncertain. But starting something new, right? Because any change means there's a new thing, new house, new city, new job, new spouse, new kid. Those are scary, especially when the first one comes. But starting something new can be rewarding and scary. But the great news is God is through every transition and every change with us.
Speaking of change, one thing we did in our last move, a phrase we started using at home here, was we're moving the homestead. Because since we're both from Maine, it's like every time there was a transition in our life or a redirection, or we don't know what we're going to do yet or where we're going to land, we'd be going back to Maine. And we changed that. We started saying, Maine is not the homestead anymore. This is our new homestead. We're moving the homestead. We're moving the family. This is home now. And it's kind of nice. I mean, I miss the people in Maine. We'll go back. We'll visit. But there are different times in our life where the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
People and relationships change and influence changes. And I think that sometimes we'll get attached to relationships in a way that we assume that we can't take a step forward because of the impact it has on a person. And while there's you know, reason to consider that in many cases, often it can be the thing that hinders us. But there's change around every corner.
There sure is. You know, there's the song but from the Birds, Turn, Turn, Turn. You know, it's basically, it's Ecclesiastes 3.
Of course you have a song to relate to what we're doing.
I always do. Like, what's up with that? And Ecclesiastes 3, it's like verses 1 through 8, basically, are the song. And I'll read it for you. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. If that doesn't encompass like all of life, I don't know what does.
All the change, all the things.
All the things.
Funny side note, rabbit trail. So I have a couple of years. I did time in Catholic school for a little while. And I say did time because, well, I was grateful when I wasn't there any longer. It was a rough couple of years. But we had to memorize certain verses, you know, from like they'd be like, you can choose whatever. This is one of the ones that I decided to do because it was less to memorize because it was a time to this and a time to that. But listen, the things that I learned to do in Catholic school allow me to be a horrible example for others. Aww. Because they were usually getting out of it. So don't follow my example here.
No.
But I love this verse because, you know, I was actually just talking with a friend yesterday about the fact that God uses everything for his good. And there's actually my adopted brother came into our family in a very kind of traumatic yet unique way that soap operas can't even write about. That's just the truth. But I at the time I would have told you this is horrible. People were dealing with a horrible. I would have had nothing good to say. But now you fast forward and he's been in our family for over 20 years, and I can't imagine what life would be like if he wasn't here. Do you know what I mean? And he even admits like life would be very different for him. He'd be making some very different choices if he wasn't in our family. And so just love to see how God has moved over that season. But, you know, these things are hard. Like, it's great. Like a time to laugh. You're like, yeah, I love that. Get together with friends, get on a podcast, laugh, you know, but there's a time, you know, there's a time for healing, which means there had to be a time for hurting, you know.
Right.
There is a time to kill, but a time to lose. And so sometimes that stuff becomes overwhelming, but we look at it as a negative. But I always try to remember that God is doing something in every season.
Yeah.
And so in the grief-filled and the anxiety-riddled and fear-stricken moments, God's doing something. But in these times where it's a time to sow and it's a time for peace and a time for love, you know, a time of healing, you know, those are the ones that we're like, yes, a time to dance. That's great. You know, we want the exciting times because they feel good. But sometimes we don't realize that without the season where there was pressing or shaking or doubt, that we don't get stronger for the right. next season God's bringing us into.
I would say, you have to find the positive. If you're going through something that's negative, there's still a positive there somewhere. When I was reading this, of course, I would have to clarify all of my deep theological meaning, whatever, with someone smarter than me, because I'm not that person. But in verse 5, it talks about a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. I wonder if that is related to how they used to like build altars. You know, they would go a place and they'd say, we are going, like when Noah got out of the ark, he built an altar to remember what God did. And mm-hmm. It talks about when the Israelites are going from place to place, whatever, like they would take 12 stones for each one for each of the tribes of Israel, and they would build an altar in remembrance of whatever it was that God did for them then. And it's like, is I wonder, I'm just wondering, is that relating that verse 5, does that relate to let us remember what God has done? You know? But it's like we can't live in just that one place. We don't just live in the one place that he did something for us. We continue and we keep going. I don't know. Come on, smart friends. And
I'm trying.
you're doing great over there. But sometimes when you read, okay. So side note, like you said earlier, rabbit trail. I love
Here we
how
go.
you can get something new out of something you've read before. It can strike you. The Holy Spirit does it. He strikes you and he says, hey, did you ever think of this? Blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of what really struck me today about verse 5.
So, to your point, though, there are actually a couple of different thoughts behind the gathering stones and scattering stones. And some of the gathering stones was when they get ready to plant, they needed to pick up kind of the junk that was out there before, because stuff ends up in the fields that doesn't belong. They gather it up and they toss it. Another commentary talked about that stones may be regarded as a material for building. Right, so I don't think you're far off, or as an impediment to the fertility of the land. So I think that you can use it either way. Some of it refers to once cast away stones were in due time made parts of a spiritual building, which we see in Ephesians. And so there's a lot of different theology, but it's you're not I don't it doesn't sound like you're far from. What others that have letters behind their name say, but I think this is the great thing about the Bible is God really has a desire for us to understand His Word, and that's why He gave us the Holy Spirit. And this is kind of one of those soapboxes that I jump on because I was not raised in church, and now I'm a pa an associate pastor in our church, and I have different viewpoints because I don't get things right sometimes. I miss it because I don't know the rule. And sometimes I warned you guys in the first episode, filter's broken. Sometimes I think some of the rules are stupid, Charity. That's just, I'm like, these don't make sense in the logical. And I've read the Bible a couple times or so, and it doesn't make sense there either. So I'm not going to get into which rules those are. We're not going to do that. But my point before I soapbox momentarily is that God gave us the Holy Spirit. So we have that knowing within us, and as we read His Word, he'll teach us things. And sometimes he'll use a verse like this to help us understand change. And I think, we've got so many different types of a time to tear down, a time to sow, a time to keep silent. I could use that sometimes. but here's what's interesting because, I'll hear Christians say, well, you should never hate anybody. Well, verse 8 says there's a time to love and there is a time for hate. There is a time for war and there is a time for peace. So there are times and there are seasons for these things. And instead of, I think sometimes we get overwhelmed by the season. And don't stop to say, God, what do you want for me in this season? We've got war breaking out in different parts of the world right now. And we can get political, we can get on a soapbox, we can, take sides, we can, but there's people that God created on every side. And so can we agree that we should pray for his people? And so I just am always looking for what is the Holy Spirit trying to tell me in this season? And I really, God has dealt with me about that over the last, I don't know, couple of years. Because oftentimes people will be like, well, Charity, what should I do? Charity, what do you think? And that's great. It's great to have friends to talk things out with, but they can never be a substitute for listening for the voice of God.
It is so true. It's like it's great to have friends and mentors and family that love you and want to speak into your life. But if they're not porting you to Jesus or porting you to the Holy Spirit, to figure out what's going on, then where are they pointing you to?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I know our podcast is coming to a close, but there are a few scriptures that the moment you said this one, I was like, oh no, because when there's change, like I said, sometimes it's fear, it's anxiety, it's doubt, sometimes it's joy or excitement, what have you, but God is constant throughout it all. And so 1 Chronicles 28:20 says, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God, even my God, is with you. For he will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. So God's not leaving you, no matter how messy it is. By the way, no matter how wrong you are. Because I have been wrong and really, really, really felt like I was right through a changing season. And I was wrong.
I think we've all been there, Nancy.
Yes. I agree. But I think it's important that we have people around us that will encourage us, that will pray, that will speak godly wisdom, such as families, friends, mentors, small groups, but again, not a substitute for the Holy Spirit. First Peter reminds us about casting all of our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in prayer and supplication with, this is a whole nother podcast, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's a comfort to me. Because when I've made those big moves, I know when you made your big move to and from Alaska, there were times that it was like, what happened? Did I miss the voice of God? Did I go left when I should have gone right? You know, and it just, that scripture gives me so much comfort that I can lean into him and know that he's going to give me peace and protection. And one that one of the verses that one of the other verses that I really love is Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that renewing of your mind, you know, oftentimes we get it confused and we think, I have to renew my mind. I have to do it. But the truth is, God renews your mind, but he renews your mind in relationship with him.
That's right.
So it doesn't just, it's not just like, boop, there you go. You like that? It's that investing time in reading or listening to his word, listening to godly counsel, praying, and really hearing his voice. So I just want to remind everybody, like, don't be complacent, right? Because when we're complacent, we're still making a choice not to do anything. And whether it is moving, which I know is kind of lighthearted and joking, moving is no joke. Whether it's moving jobs or relationships, whether it is, you know, really dealing with that loss, whether it's a death or sometimes it's something's happened in the relationship and it's had to be severed. Sometimes it is people we love have walked away from the Lord or maybe have done something that is negatively impacting us. Regardless of what change we're going through, we can't be complacent. We have to be intentional about our decision to stop, start, or to keep going.
Until next time, be sure to like, share, and follow us on social media.
And keep it real at the kitchen table.